Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, friends. I'm your host, Chris Thrall. I'm a former Royal Marines Commando. I've adventured, for better and sometimes worse, across 80 countries on all seven continents. Welcome to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. David, how are you?
Very well. Great to meet you.
Yes, and you too. I should have asked you, how's your journey going? Does the journey go on when you have such knowledge of consciousness as you do?
It's a paradox, really, because we're all in our true infinite nature. Everyone is. And there's also the refinement of the relative aspect of experience. So, you know, discovering your true nature is something which is available to everyone because it's already here. But then in a kind of evolutionary sense, or in terms of, you know, the kind of entertainment or adventure aspect of experience, that goes on with no upper limits.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm just reveling in my fascination of that. I've got someone on the show that I can ask so many things that I've probably been dying to ask someone. I'm just going to start with a quote that's on your website and on your wonderful YouTube channel. Folks, I'll put all David's links below this video. But the quote says, "We are already the infinite being and always have been. We can't be anything else. Around the age of two, the subject-object mode of experience is installed to make it seem as though we are a human being existing in time and space. However, the very familiar and intimate sense of existing is the existence of the infinite being, which we have mistaken to be the existence of the individual. It's simply a case of mistaken identity." Now, just before I go any further, we've got a lot of people attracted to the channel because we look at what's going on in the world. And as I said to you a moment ago, David, the reason I look at current affairs, for someone, I don't even watch the news. I have no interest in that. But I watch what's going on because I know it scares a lot of people and it frightens people. And moreover, it divides people. And then I try to explain what is really going on behind the headline with respect to the spiritual aspect, the spiritual battle. And friends at home, everyone's out there. There's so many people part of the quote unquote great awakening that they want answers and they want change and they want to bring down the system. And the reason I've invited David on the show is there's not a lot of people that understand how you bring that about or whether you even need to bring it about. Yes. So without further ado, David, do you want to explain the infinite being?
Yeah, certainly. Well, when we begin life, we begin as an open space within which all experiences arise. So a model I use is an Indian version, which is called the koshas, which is that we have five bodies available to us. So we all remain as the infinite being, but then we have these five filters. The first one is infinite bliss. The second one is called the body of wisdom. The third one is the mental body. The fourth one is the emotional body. And the fifth one is the physical body in the physical realm. So as we we actually venture from subtle to gross, because initially we all experience infinite bliss, and then we move into the possibility of form within, it's called the body of wisdom, which is effortless being. So those two koshas remain in alignment with the infinite being or God, whereas the three more gross ones, so the mental, emotional, and physical realm, they're part of a self-contained energetic construct, which people call the matrix. So we can make the distinction between our true infinite nature and the dualistic realm. And as we understand the way these structures work, we can actually realize that we never left our infinite nature, which then has a dramatic influence on our experience of the dualistic realm, because our infinite nature is present throughout. It's just that we've consented to these filters of limitation, which make it appear as though we're existing as a separate being in time and space.
Wow. It's truly rewarding to hear it coming from someone else, because this is the kind of stuff that I've kind of worked this out, David, over the years. And I'm almost pleased that I didn't read a whole load of books or anything to get here. I just kind of reflected and kept reflecting on what is the nature of reality, what is the nature of consciousness. And I should mention that, yes, I have read some great books and also listened to some great YouTube channels. So what I'm saying a lot to my friends out there, my audience, is that this suit that we are, the meat suit as it's referred to, is the universe experiencing itself subjectively, and that we are all part of the quantum energy field that through energy, vibration and frequency creates you to sit there now and me to sit here and life to be able to experience in itself subjectively, which is really fascinating when you think, if life could just say, oh, I love you. Yeah, I love you too. Should we stop all the war? Yeah, because you're me. And I'm you, and we're just quantum energy, really, aren't we? Yeah, brilliant. Right, let's go down a pub and have a Coca-Cola. Am I a little bit in the right ballpark?
Yeah, definitely. For most people, really, it's just having a bit of guidance, because all the pieces of the jigsaw are on the table for everyone. But sometimes you just need a little bit of guidance to make the distinction between certain aspects, because our infinite nature is effortless. So actually everyone is remaining as this infinite being within which all universes, time streams, dimensions appear. And we're fully aware of this field of beingness and awareness already. It's just that when we take delivery of the human body mind at birth, we're not told that it's actually wired to two systems. So it's wired to God or the infinite being. So when you talk about the guidance you've received, you know, the sort of intuition you followed, really, rather than getting into concepts, you know, which you get from books, you followed your own intuition, which is coming directly from your infinite nature. And then the dualistic realm, which is a self-contained construct, so that's the mental, emotional, and physical, is an energy game, effectively. And it goes by different rules, but we're not told when we take delivery of the body mind that the body mind is actually linked to that system. And so we have the content coming from our infinite nature. And then we also have content being delivered from, the dualistic realm. And the invitations we receive from the dualistic realm are designed to compromise our energy. So they're designed to put us into mental and emotional compromise. But as we make the distinction between the two delivery systems, then we can begin to consciously function from our infinite nature, which then has an effect of transforming the dualistic realm. Because as you mentioned, it's the dualistic realm which is problematic, whereas as we begin to realize that life is unity and that it's just one single being in reality, then that transforms the dualistic realm.
Yes. I'm just was getting a picture up. Where's my slides? Oh, there we go. Right. Sorry, David. I just wanted to get up a slide. So this is the all, the everything. So am I correct in thinking that there is just the all? So when people think about God, for example, they think we've got the stereotypical image of the wispy white-haired guy sat on a cloud, you know, out there in the universe or whatever. But in reality, there isn't separateness. There is only the whole one system, which I guess for humans, that's hard to get our head around, because we always like to think in terms of Newtonian physics, where there's an end, like this, the rainbow starts here and it ends there, and then the horizon's there. But if you go over the it's difficult for us to comprehend something that's infinite but all encompassing.
Yeah, well, really the idea of the infinite being or God is it's like a field of infinite possibilities in reality. So that's our true nature, and that's the starting point. But we venture into, you know, various forms of limitation. And the dualistic realm I see in a different way. It's like, you know, people talk about the film The Matrix, and it's very similar in that, you know, to that kind of construct, which is it's an energetic construct and it's independent. So even though the dualistic realm is still within the realm of the infinite being, it's the operating system is different. So it's like a computer game. You know, if you have a computer game where the rules operating in there, say the game is you have to get through the game without losing your energy, but the objective of the game is to take all of your energy. That's really what the Matrix is, and that's really what the human experience is. But as we discover the way it functions, we can reclaim the energy, because all the problematic stuff is to do with personalization. So in this moment, there is just effortless awareness. So it seems as though we've been conditioned to believe that it's Chris who is aware, but actually it's the infinite being. The infinite being is aware. So there is awareness of the forms arising effortlessly in this moment. So there's effortless awareness of the conversation, of the images on the screen, of the objects in the room. All of that's known effortlessly. So actually you're remaining as this infinite impersonal field of awareness. It's like an infinite ocean of awareness within which everything appears. But because we've been conditioned into individuality, we have the option to step into the personalized mode. So when there is just effortless awareness, it's the forms appearing. But then when we engage the mind, then we speak as though we're the individual. So it's effortless being, which is in this timeless moment, which is aware of everything that's happening. But then we step into the character. So the infinite being is listening to the conversation and listening to the two voices and aware of everything effortlessly. But then you can engage individuality by engaging the mind. So when the dualistic mind is engaged, then you can start speaking as though you really are this character called Chris, when you never became that. It's just, the infinite being is like the actor, and then the character is being played. So you could say the character Chris is existing in this dualistic play. And on one level, it's you know, it's a really dramatic experience at the moment in human life, but in another, it's the most amazing form of entertainment. And once you reestablish the knowledge of your infinite nature, then you can experience it in that way. And the energy which previously was fueling the dualistic realm, you can reclaim to be in alignment with your infinite nature, which is that's when the fun really starts.
Could you give us an example of that fun then, David, for people watching now that might be a bit, what are these two guys kind of talking about? How does that relate to me and my life?
Yeah.
How would the fun begin?
Well, everything in the dualistic realm. So when we start in the human experience, everyone is already the infinite awareness, which is just aware of everything happening. But it's neutral and it's impersonal. But our parents start calling us by name. So you, up until the age of two, you were just resting as the infinite, effortless, timeless being. But your mum and dad and, you know, family members and, you know, people around you started calling you by the name of Chris. Says, oh, this is our little boy, Chris. You know, he's got blue eyes. You know, he's really good at running, you know, and he's, you know, all the things, all of the personal attributes. So they're kind of inviting you in to identify with the character. And eventually, even though you know you are the infinite field of awareness within which everything is arising, you concede eventually and you say, well, they seem to be having a bit of fun. I'll have a bit of fun with them and pretend that I really am this person called Chris, locked in time and space, when actually you never were. But the way the dualistic realm is structured, so the education system, the media, everything in the dualistic realm is designed to put us into personalization. So it's the idea you really are this person in time and space. And it creates mind predominance where it's all to do with, it's to do with things like planning, effort, hard work, achieving things in time, competing with everybody, you know, building your ego, all of those things. When actually, when you discover that you remain in your infinite nature, then the quality which is coming through from the infinite being enables you to align with intuition. And it's really, you're a great example of this, Chris, because I think all the conditioning you had, you know, military experiences and things were very much to put you into the dualistic realm in a really deep way. But you've actually aligned with your intuitive capability and you've actually switched attention from the dualistic realm into the intuitive realm. So you're a really great example of what happens. And it as you switch attention, what happens is the all of the effort which is involved in the dualistic realm, like competing and fighting and battling and everything, you realize all of that is futile in a way, because when you realign with your infinite nature, you have this intuition coming through. And the fun starts when you realize that everything of value will come to you effortlessly when you align with your infinite nature, rather than, you know, building and kind of strengthening the sense of individuality. So it's the opposite to the way this world functions. But that's when it becomes magical, because you see that this intelligence will guide you and the synchronicity of events comes into your life and you begin to live life in a really amazing way. And the great thing about it is that it's something that can happen really quickly. Like people I have conversations with, they can make that transition to totally realizing their infinite nature within, you know, just sometimes a few hours, you know, but because the world we live in is designed to keep us in the dualistic loop. So we're kind of being recycled through the physical, etheric and astral realms back to the physical again, you know, in the reincarnation cycle. But when you realize your true nature, you become free of that. But everything in the dualistic realm is trying to convince us that we really are this human being in time and space, that we're a separate being. So everything really, even with most of the religions, they're actually reinforcing a sort of problematic experience. It's the idea that we're sinful. There's something wrong with us. You know, we have to have thousands of lifetimes to realize our true nature. You know, it's all based on things like arduous meditation and, you know, austerity, spiritual practices, all of these things, when really all of that is part of the scenery of the dualistic realm, because everyone already is the true infinite, timeless, omnipotent being. And we never actually entered the matrix. It's only that we've consented. It's like a ride, and there are the different rides, and there are like the emotional rides, you know, so there are lower frequency emotional rides that we're invited into, like fear or depression or anger, you know, jealousy, all of those things, which are energetically depleting. But as we align with our infinite nature, you realize that those experiences are optional. You can actually remain in your infinite nature, and you can decline those because you see those, they're like invitations which are being delivered to try to get us to identify with them. And that's what takes us down energetically. But we can remain free of that system, and it's available to everyone. And it just requires a little bit of clarity. Once that clarity is here, it just transforms your whole experience. And it's really what's happening in the world at the moment. Everything in the world is inviting us into duality. So it's putting traumatic experiences and images before us to try to put us into mental and emotional compromise, you know, fear and anger and all those things. But actually, the more people declining those invitations, remaining in neutrality, remaining in their infinite nature, then the dualistic aspect just begins to neutralize. And then we discover that what we thought was this, you know, really difficult situation is something which is actually like a big theme park in reality.
Absolutely. And without using any of the keywords, but the last 3 years are a great example of how some of us live with no fear whatsoever, because we're perfect, we're the perfect creation. Certainly don't need to go to some trillionaire corporate psychopaths to fix you and your family with their little interventions. And also, of course, when you went out and about in public, you didn't have to, you know, you didn't have to wear a certain accoutrement. It's brilliant. I feel for people who were terrified. I feel, but I think now more people are on this journey, David. I don't think they're starting to understand that these dark groups in society set out to keep you in fear because they can manipulate you then. And was it JFK said, there's nothing to fear except fear itself. So if I create a scenario, and perhaps we both can chip in then, because again, I'm conscious of people at home. I want people to get this. And people will try and tear it down. People will say, you know, spirituality, well, that's religion then, is it? And yeah, I get it. I would have probably thought that a while back. I call it the warrior's journey because, as you said, I'm an example of someone that's come from an extreme program of indoctrination, i.e. the military, to being completely free of indoctrination, well, to a degree. And that is because something was instilled in this device. I don't like to keep calling it a meat suit. It sounds so crude, but that I never wanted to settle for second best, David. So I guess this all, the everything, the universe, the energy, it was channeling to me,
yes,
or through me, saying, Chris, you don't have to, you know, I've presented you these challenges in life to get over and become a stronger, better individual. And I just kept going on that pathway. So when everyone was going off to school in their school uniforms and with happy mummy and daddy in their cars as teenagers, and I'm homeless in my school uniform smoking a cigarette at 15, I was just like, bring it on. I want this life. I don't want that life. I don't want the easy journey, because where is the learning in that? Where is the learning if you get everything on a plate? And of course, I took that to quite some extreme lengths. I think everyone, that's no secret. But just by hanging in there, I just went through everything. The diet, what are we supposed to eat? Because I didn't want to get sick, David. I've been sick. I did the get you know, get the two colds a year, one in the summer, one in the winter, this weird kind of flu, in what, you know, once every sort of 2 years or whatever. Like, I did all of that. And I now know, realize that's optional. You don't have to live like that. That's societal programming into a toxic acid producing diet, that your parents are blissfully unaware. You know, they're still, was it sticking a dead trout under the pillow to prevent herpes or something? All the weird stuff that they did and they believe because they didn't have the internet. And so, yes, I just want to make people aware out there. I'm not any kind of special person, but I just listened. I realized there was something great in life and I wasn't going to access it if I followed everybody else because they were going down a blind alley and I was like, life is worth more. I'm hesitating from saying I'm worth more because, of course, I don't exist. We've established that. But what I mean is life was saying, I'm worth so much more than this. You don't have to follow someone into a job that's unfulfilling. You don't have to eat yourself into an early grave. If you want to run the length of the country, just go and do it. Don't let anybody, and believe me, when you do something like that, you're going to get a lot of people tell you you can't do it. And it's through that process, David, that I entered paradise. I mean,
Well, that's a great example, Chris, actually, the running, because what running can do is it actually turns the mind off. So, if we're, you know, you know, the mind and the body are totally interrelated, but we're programmed into mind predominance. So there's a delivery of all sorts of, you know, thoughts coming in which aren't particularly pleasant. It's like having a soap opera delivered into your mind every moment of the day and not knowing how to turn it off. But running can do that. Running can turn it off because the physical activity neutralizes the mind. So you can become really present when you're running. You know, there are lots of other examples of how you can do it, like with, all creativity or dancing. You know, people talk about the zone and, our true nature is effortless being. So if you see someone who's like a great runner, a great athlete, a great footballer, musician, artist, writer, it's because they've developed the ability to function from their infinite impersonal nature in that area of activity. So it isn't anything that is new or far off. It's that all creativity is actually coming from our infinite impersonal nature already. It's just that there's the secondary device, which is called the mind, which is taking delivery of all the content we don't wish to experience. So all the invitations into limitation and, you know, mental and emotional turmoil. But we could do a couple of things. We could do a little exercise, which I think could be quite helpful if you'd be willing to do it, Chris.
Absolutely.
Just so people can see what effortless being is. So what I'd like you to do is just let me know if there are any thoughts arising at the moment. Are there any thoughts arising in the mind?
I'm trying to be like water. and I've got a picture. I just showed the audience at home a picture of when I ran the length of the country. So that's kind of, I'm just thinking of that, but no, nothing.
Okay. That's really good. Well, actually that's a good sign. And that's probably because all the running you've done, running, it can be like a meditation because, you know, we can sit down and we can meditate and still the mind, but we can do other things. Like some people, you know, they go running for other people. They, you know, have other means of relaxation. But everybody really wants to know how to turn the mind off. But it's much easier than people realize. And so, are there any emotions arising in this moment, Chris?
Happiness, you can say, when I talk about running.
Yeah.
Also tinged with a bit of sadness because you just mentioned it. You nailed it. Running is meditation. And yet we've been indoctrinated through the PE experience at school and or running for the bus to think that it's a punishment.
Yeah.
And that's because we've got the competitive angle put on it. And sorry, I don't want to divert from what you're saying, but I'm thinking of the people out there that will be jumping now and going, well, I hate running. It's like, no, you don't. You haven't done running. You don't understand. You think it's that thing at school. It's not. And you're running too fast. But sorry.
No, that's great. But really, for, you know, running is only one example, because the thing for everyone to discover is what, you know, is the most important thing in their experience, because that's really the thing we came here to do. And as you kind of wake up to your true nature, rather than going along with the program version, you actually discover what your life purpose is. And it tends to be everything they need for their life purpose already exists within them. It's just that the system is designed to utilize them, really, in a way where they become robotic. But actually, everyone has the uniqueness of their own experience. So you have someone, you know, if you look at a great footballer, for instance, you can see that they're playing in a way where their skill is beyond the speed of the mind. And that's because it's coming from their infinite nature. And that's why people love watching football, because you see there's a sort of magical quality when it's really flowing. But what happens with sport, for instance? Well, if you take football, even, you know, the most accomplished players and the most, you know, recognized in the world, they can still be subject to being catapulted back into the mental realm, because the flow takes place in effortless being. But if say the other side scores, or say there's, you know, some thought comes into mind about, you know, you're not being very good, suddenly the confidence of the whole team can collapse. That's an example of how we can move from effortless being, which is when we're totally in the flow, or in the zone, as they call it. And then we're catapulted into the dualistic mind. And, you know, the mind starts delivering these thoughts like, oh, well, you're never good. You're never any good. You've always been useless. You know, and that happens for even the most accomplished people. But it's learning that distinction. So if we take, you know, if we take in this moment, there are different things arising. So there's awareness of the screens. There's awareness of everything. And until we engage the mind, and we're using words like I and me and mine, we're not engaging the character. It's like the character, it's like putting a car into gear. So in this moment, I mean, I sense this just looking into your eyes. I can just sense there's this open space of awareness. It's just aware of everything arising. And there's this quiet joy that's arising as well, because there's no judgment. There's no commentary going on. It's just the simple open space of awareness. And then there's the option to step into character. So when Chris, the awareness of the forms arising is effortless, but then it takes effort to step into individuality. So if we need to engage the mind, so when you start to speak now, there'll be some conceptualization, some thoughts arising, and you know, it'll be in reference to experiences and things. But actually, for everyone, it's a simple on-off switch, because if we don't engage the mind, and we're not engaging, oh, me and mine and I and this is what I'm doing and all that sort of stuff, if you just sit in presence in this moment, you're there, you're home as the infinite, impersonal, omnipotent being, and everything really arises in the infinite awareness you've always been. And it's really a simple choice. You can rest as effortless being. You can see it in children, you know, like young children. You look in their eyes, and the mind and the emotions haven't been installed, and they're just in, you know, complete awe. You know, there's just this real joy that's there, but it isn't a joy that's based on anything. It's just their natural state.
Yes. One thing that's really kind of come to me recently is the importance of being in service. And I didn't really get this before. I, you know, everyone aspires to be, well, not everybody, but generally helping other people is kind of looked at as a good thing, isn't it? Being in service to your fellow man. But when you take on board that, well, we're all one, we're all the one energy. So what do you want to do? Do you want to put out bad energy or do you want to put out good? And therefore, it really places a focus on our behavior.
Yeah.
Because I've been very badly behaved at times. And now I'm thinking, hang on, I am literally creating the future. And therefore, it's like having that TV crew 24/7 in your life with a camera on you. How would you behave? Would you be doing these bad behaviors, or would you be like, oh, hi, fellas. Shouldn't try and do that with glasses on. It doesn't work. So that really really brought it home. Why people talk about being in service. It's the only place to be. I'm trying to stop swearing because of the, I love a good swear, especially as a serviceman, former serviceman, but I'm also aware of when you swear and you're actually drawing upon dark energy. Just
has the frequency, doesn't it? Yeah. But what you describe, that's a really good way to make the distinction between the dualistic realm and our infinite nature, because the way we're programmed in the dualistic realm is to be in service to individuality. So it's being in service to the little me. So it's all about, you know, competing, trying to gather things around you, like relationships, experiences, objects, money, all of those things. But actually, that's like a bottomless pit, because the dualistic realm, there's no satisfaction there. And the reason that the world's the way it is at the moment is because the beings that run this show, there's been a complete overinvestment in the dualistic realm and in individuality. But it's an insatiable realm. There isn't any satisfaction here. No matter how much money you have, how much whatever it is, it never satisfies, because the only place you find satisfaction is in your infinite nature, which is easily available all along. And the service you describe, Chris, is being in service to your infinite nature, because the being in service to individuality, it's saying, I know what will make me happy. You know, it's a Ferrari, a big blonde, you know, and a holiday in the Maldives. But when we realize that we can function from our infinite nature, we align with that. And the intelligence which comes from the infinite being knows exactly what we need. So it creates, I mean, I sense this in the way you function, because you've, in one way, there's been a surrender of individuality in the way, you know, your show is. And Effortless Being is actually running the show for you, because the people that gravitate towards you, they're the ones who sense that genuine, selfless way of experiencing, and that you really, your show really is about being in service to the infinite being, because it's, and actually your purpose for showing up here in the dualistic realm is that. It's like you're a volunteer. You're not a native to the dualistic realm. You've shown up here to be in service to the infinite being, to bring the attributes of unity consciousness into the dualistic realm and reintegrate the dualistic realm back into unity.
Yeah, I mean, a great example for friends at home is, I could have made a killing if you know, I've chatted to lots of veterans, David, as I'm sure you're aware, and it's very easy to do as a former Royal Marine. I just pick up the phone and say, oi, Oppo, come on my show. And they go, all right, Chris. And I'd probably be well on my way to being a millionaire now had I just kept doing that. But I'm in service, so I can't do, you know, I can discuss people's life stories, of course, and that's whether they've been in the forces, whether they've been a pop star, whatever, that's kind of what having a chat show is. But I realize looking back now, when we were trying to push military topics just for the sake of getting subscribers. I mean, because you want to be successful. It's not. It's nothing untoward. You don't want to put so much effort into something like we've done with this show. I'm on my own now, but I've had a lot of help over the years. But it really became the cases of I looked out there, and there's some quite prominent individuals that really should know better, and they're just fear-mongering the public. And when I started to gain an appreciation of the utter indoctrination across the board with hero worshipping the death machine, which is war, the military. And I mean no disrespect to anyone that served or anyone that admires people that serve. I'm just simply saying that, oh, how caught up in that 3D material realm are you to think that being a paid killer is something to aspire to? And I know they don't see it like that. They see it as these guys are here, but it's because I know the real story behind it. I know why we joined up. The majority of us, we were lacking in our life. We were desperate to prove ourselves in the 3D realm, in the ego realm. As such, you know, atrocities are committed. And when you're that young, egotistical, naive teenager with a machine gun in your hands, the dark ones, they just see a pawn in the game, a pawn to push around their new world order chess set. And I see all this, David. So it's not a difficult thing to just tell the truth and be authentic. It's the way it has to be. I won't even say it's easy or it's the way it has to be. And I'm well aware that a lot of people won't be on that stage of the journey. I mean, you've only got to look at, well, that. I mean, I mentioned earlier, military identity cards. Veterans ID cards. It's cost the government something like $50 million to be able to tell a veteran, did you know that you served? Here's a little card to remind you. Well, and no one will look at it in the reality of what this actually, what they'll look at is, oh, wow, the hero gets his hero card to be able to show people he's a hero. And that's how it's been received. I saw posts on LinkedIn today. I showed my veterans card at the airport and all of us veterans, we got on the aircraft first. Why do you feel the need to be placed above your fellow human beings? And why do you feel that being part of the military industrial complex, which has massacred millions of innocent people over the last 20 years in the Middle East, why do you feel that's something to be, that that's a part of your identity? And of course, when you look at the deeper meaning behind these cards, what they're doing is they're keeping veterans who should be getting over the past and leaving it behind and healing their trauma and moving on. Move on. You're not that person that was in a uniform 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20. You're not that person. Your love, light, beauty, empathy, consciousness, you're an incredible manifestation of this wonderful universe, and yet you're clinging to, you know, you're clinging to an identity. And I was just trying to get my slide up here. Everyone knows the slide that I'm the slide that I'm going to show. It's what it's doing. Friends at home, I'm not here to knock veterans. I'm not saying that, you know, there's going to be a lot of folks that love to have a veteran's ID card. It might bring some perks. I'm not sure. I've got a veteran's rail card. I get half price rail tickets. I can say that's quite welcome. But what essentially we're doing, when you're trying to get people to move away from this third dimension that David and I have discussed, and you're trying to get them to rise into this new, or ideally, they should be encouraged to adopt this new consciousness to move on from the trauma, and that's childhood trauma that many of us, almost all veterans I spoke to, or that I know, experience this. And in order to do that, as we've established, you need to move away from this 3D ego construct that we have and realize that we're so much more. And we also have to realize the past doesn't exist. Therefore, the trauma, we just leave it there and we move on. We heal it and move on from it. We stop linking ourselves to it. So all these things that I've just said the government should be helping the veterans with, they've just literally kicked it into touch by issuing this ID card to keep people down here in the matrix. And I'm not here. I'm not judging David. I'm not trying to be nasty. I don't mean any of that. My point is there's an awful lot more going on than just a little piece of plastic. That's all I'm saying. And universe made me think like this, encouraged me to think like this. So, yeah, I'm sort of not going to apologize.
Equality is the solution, really, because everyone is equal. But in the in the dualistic realm, it's about creating these hierarchies of importance where people aspire to different levels where they can temporarily feel better than someone else. And but the solution is in equality and neutrality, because when we discover our true nature, then that's really the opportunity for everything to come through in the most amazing way. But while we're in the mind, in the conceptual realm, then it's about the idea of achieving things to be better than somebody else.
David, what I want to ask you, because I think people will get a lot from this, are you able to put into words for us, how did you become enlightened consciousness? What did you have a life-changing event? Or I mean, I always think we learn by the universe holding the mirror up to us, and we have to look at our behaviors and our challenges and our experiences and see them as a learning curve.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing, unless you had really good parents or something who were quite spiritual, that you've had a lot of experience in life. I'd imagine some of it challenging.
Yeah. Well, the point you just made, I think, the early years of my childhood, from 0 to 5, were very harmonious, and so everyone normally adopts identification with their human persona around about the age of 2. That's why, people talk about the terrible 2s for kids, but it's because prior to that age, they knew that they were the infinite being, and then suddenly they see themselves and think they're imprisoned in a meat suit, and they start throwing all their toys around. But it actually lasted longer. I had memories of, knowing myself to be this infinite, this field of awareness at a very early age. And then I did meditation for quite a few years. But that was helpful in one way, but it isn't necessary. But the turning point really is when you become what's called self-referral, which is we're conditioned in the dualistic realm to be object referral. So it's the idea of like possessions and experiences and thoughts and all those things. But when you become self-referral, this is what's happened to Chris actually. Being self-referral is where you follow your own inner knowing, your own intuition, rather than going with the outer, sort of consensus reality. And so when you begin to do that, you find that you begin to be guided in a way where infinite intelligence is guiding you rather than listening to what the mind's telling you or what the dualistic realm tells you. And then it can become really quick. So because it isn't spiritual realization, it isn't something in the distant future. It isn't something we need to be practicing or anything to get there. Everyone is already it. It's just that we're it before we we engage the mind or speech. You know, in this moment, you're existing as the infinite being. It's only when you start to talk, you know, as though you are Chris. But that's like the character delivering the lines as though you really are this character called Chris. But what's happened for Chris is the alignment with your infinite nature is something which has developed. You've kind of been, you followed your intuition, and you've been self-referral rather than being, following the crowd really. And that's the most important thing. And everyone has that capability. So it's getting into that space where you're listening to your own inner voice. And then the more you align with that, then you begin to realize that life's a much bigger game than you ever realized.
Absolutely. David, could we just do a scenario before we finish and just go over to... So friends at home, we're going to go to locals for our locals audience so that we our locals supporters can ping David some questions, basically, stuff that we haven't got time for here. But here's a scenario. I'll just pick a veteran because that's quite appropriate. You've got a veteran there. He's having an identity crisis. He's missing possibly some aspects of service, but then he also knows that a lot of it was quite boring with a lot of people you didn't really want to work with. And his life's not going the way it should. He's hitting the beer too much, which is our curse, really. And he's going for a job with an employer that he feels doesn't respect him. I've just picked a sort of scenario I think we all can relate to at some point in our life. What can we advise this person in actual physical grassroots terms? So I guess we're talking thought process, spiritual, and then actual physical action.
Yeah, well, it's quite simple in a way, because the most important thing is to is to function from a level of self-respect, because a lot of the things that people are conditioned into in the military is a hierarchy, the idea that they're just squaddies, you know, and they just have to listen to what other people tell them. But everyone has the ability to function from self-respect. But the way you turn things around is to prioritize a sense of well-being. So things like alcohol they create like a polarized experience, because we're high for a little while on the alcohol, and then we're low for a longer period of time. And the trade-off without something like alcohol, for instance, is it's about 10 to 20% of pleasure against 80 to 90% of pain. That's the reality of it. It's just that it's been widespread within the dualistic realm. But really, the secret is to have a sense of self-respect. You know, do whatever needs to be done to maintain the quality of life, where you're not under strain, you're not in, you know, psychological torture. And then just begin to build a stable platform in your experience and spend time with people that make you feel directly better. You know, so we're playing what is effectively a frequency game. And in the dualistic realm, we're all invited into the lower frequencies, like pain and suffering and those things. But actually, we can consciously align with the higher frequencies and begin to transform our experience and realize that the potential we have is way beyond anything we ever realized.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm just typing up our locals introduction because I'm a multitasker. No, I'm not. I'm typical bloke. I'm terrible at it. Yes, exactly. So I was just showing my Christmas tree analogy. I've been using this for the last couple of days. I'm quite pleased because I came up with this idea in the sauna after listening to the wonderful John St. Julian. And I was just saying how we feel the need, David, don't we? We're like a Christmas tree. We're perfect in the wilderness with our roots in the ground and in a stunning environment of which we are symbiotic. You know, we're breathing the air, we're sucking up water with our roots, everything's rosy. And then we get the idea that we should cut ourselves off at the roots and shove ourselves in a plastic bucket. And then we need all this decoration and tinsel and baubles, and it's somehow going to make us happy. And then slowly we start dying, and we fail to realize why. And then if we peel off all those baubles and trinkets, so the drugs, the alcohol, the caffeine, the stress, the fear, the screen time, the ego, the overwork, the inactivity, etc., etc., then we go back through the matrix, back into paradise. And
back into sovereignty as well, because everyone really is the sovereign infinite being. It's just that in the dualistic realm, we're told that we're subject to the dualistic realm. But actually, when you rediscover your true infinite nature, you realize you're sovereign, you're the sovereign infinite being. And you can begin to rediscover that, and you can begin to function from that.
On that note, David, I'm just going to say thank you so much, just for me, let alone for our wonderful audience out there. This has just been, it's so affirming to hear another human being saying stuff that you've got, you know, that's been whizzing through your mind, and we've never met. No. You know, you'd think we'd gone to the same school or something, or read all the same books, but we've never met. And it's just evidential how, if you want to become an enlightened individual, it that's all you've got to, you know, you take action and it will come. And the irony is, when you get there, you realize you're not an individual.
Yes. You're the totality of existence.
Right, David, just bear with me. I just want to run through a couple of things. So, friends at home, I'm currently a one-man band. I'm asking people if they'll support me. If you enjoy the podcast, I think you'd definitely like to read my memoirs, which start with Eating Smoke. That's my story of how I descended into crystal meth addiction in Hong Kong while being a doorman for the 14K, which is one of Hong Kong's triad families. So as you can imagine, folks, things got a bit exciting. 40 Nights is a story of what people would say, quote unquote, recovery. But as we've just ascertained, it's actually learning, isn't it? And State of Mind is the story of how I just thought one day, I'm just going to run the length of the UK. And I just did. So you can help me there. If you can support us on Locals, you're going to get all the chats that we don't put on YouTube, all the stuff that we can't talk about on the other platforms. Plus, you get almost daily private life coaching kind of updates from myself. A beautiful bunch of people on Locals, folks, as we've had in the chat tonight, I should say. Or you might just want to chuck us $1.99 on Patreon or become a YouTube channel member. You get invites to all my events then as VIPs. And the last thing I want to mention, some of you have been very kind and you've supported my transatlantic row, which I'm doing in December with three fellow commandos, and we want to shine a light for people that are struggling with their mental health to say, look, if us thickos can all recover and go on to live in paradise, you can do it too. And we're going to be raising money for bereaved service children. Quite often that's through suicide these days, unfortunately. And also we're going to be raising money for a homeless charity that's just taken my mate off the street. So you can imagine that's quite important to me. Just quick thank you to everyone that's left money in the chat tonight. Thank you so much to people like Vanessa. And one last thing, folks, we have two spaces left on our Arctic trip. So myself and SAS, former SAS trooper Nick Wildman, we're going to take a small group of people up to the Arctic to show, teach you how to ski, put you through some survival skills, and have a great, you know, a great male bonding time in the evening is what I'm saying. Right, I've said enough, except just to say, David, thank you so much. We'll go over to locals now. David's absolutely brilliant guest, and much, much love to all of you out there. If you could chuck us a like, if indeed you did like, and if you could subscribe to the channel or check that you're subscribed, that'd be wonderful. I've said enough. We're going to locals.
Friends, thank you for listening to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Please like, subscribe and share. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Username, Chris Thrall. Instagram, Chris.Thrall. Thank you.